Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Jesus children, Jesus loves you, Jesus children. Hello, children, Jesus loves you, of America. Are you hearing what he's saying? Are you feeling what you're praying? Are you healing pain, feeling what you say inside? You better tell your story back, and if you like it, it will come to pass. Tell me, holy roller.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you back to this evening. Today is Monday, the 30th of May, Memorial Day. Amen. I'd like to give honor to those, oh God, who have fallen in defense of this country, and today we celebrate them. But today is more than just a barbecue, more than just cookout, more than just family time, but we take time out in remembrance of those who gave the sacrifice of their lives in defense of this nation and all the past wars. And sometimes we have to stop and remember, no matter what's going on politically, no matter what's going on in this country today, this country is still a one-of-a-kind country in the world today. And there's men and women who've laid their lives down to keep this country in this way. We have an election. You got to understand that in some countries of the world, the free elections, the free debates, the things that we do here in America are unique to America. And we have to appreciate that, and because someone had to pick up a gun or someone had to lay their life down in defense of it, we have to remember that's why we're able to argue and fuss and all the things that we're doing about what's not right and what's not going right. Amen. So we're going to do a prayer. We're going to get in conversation. We have a couple announcements tonight, and we're going to talk a little bit about salvation. In an early conversation I had with a brother, that we sometimes don't realize that the unbeliever or even the new convert don't have a full understanding of what the gospel is. And that's what we're going to ask you to call up tonight. We're going to share, we're going to touch on some points about the pure gospel, about what the word of God says, and how we as Christians should be able to convey that message of the grace of God, of who Jesus Christ was, of who God is, and be able to stand and be able to do that without a 45-minute sermon. You know, there was something I was learning a long time ago doing evangelism. Can you share the gospel between 2 and 3 minutes? That if you talk to someone, meet them in an elevator, have time, sit with them and talk to them about the gospel, can you share it with them? Amen? Amen. So we're going to go with prayer and go right in scripture, and we're going to go right into the conversation. Tonight, I'm going to read appropriately. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter number 28, starting at verse number 18. And the word of God says, Jesus drew near and said to them, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go then to all the people everywhere and make them my disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I will be with you always to the end of the age. Father God, we say thank you today, Lord God. We thank you for salvation, God. We thank you, Lord God, for what you've done in the manifestation of your Son, Jesus Christ, coming to the earth as a man, being born of a virgin, God, being able to minister to us for 3 years and then dying on the cross for our sins, for our redemption, for our reconciliation unto you. So today we say thank you. We come to you with hearts of gratitude. We come, O God, humbly, O God, acknowledging who you are as creator of the universe. This is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, today we have a lot of announcements coming up. The month of June is right around the corner, less than 4 hours away. And we have a lot of things going on when it comes to men's ministry. First announcement I have today is going to be from the Church of Redeemer of the Lord in Baltimore, Maryland, on Friday, June the 3rd, at 7 p.m. It's going to be man-to-man, men's fellowship, and our speaker is going to be Elder Rondell Hall. And it's a time of fellowship, time of brothers coming together in prayer and encouragement and speaking into the lives of men, speaking into the lives of husbands and fathers and sons, that God has an answer, that God has a purpose and plan for our lives, and that God is the answer of what we are to be as men, and he defines us. And we don't identify as men, we are men. And some audience will understand what that means, but we are men because that's how God created us. So there, with just being men, there's things that we need to know, we need to take responsibility for, and that's what we do at our fellowship. So that's Man to Man, Men's Ministry Fellowship at the Church of the Redeemer of the Lord. The address is going to be 4321 Old York Road in Baltimore, Maryland. You can call RSVP at 410-433-0426. We invite you to come out and join us and be in contact, rub against some brothers, shake some hands, encourage your brother, get some hugs. Amen. Also, our next announcement is coming from Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship in Hanover, Maryland. On Saturday, June the 4th, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., they're going to have an evangelism training session there that's open to the public. It's going to be facilitated by Minister Martin from Loss Ministries, from the heart of the Loss Ministries. He's going to be giving a teaching and a training on evangelism, on how to do evangelism. I mean, we assume evangelism just telling people about Christ or handing out tracts, but sometimes it's a little bit more than that. So we're going to have that training, that time of training, that time of learning, and then if you would like, they're also going to do an outreach on that same day. But you don't have to obligate to stay for that, but they are going to go out and minister and do an outreach event in the community. Amen? And that's going to be located at 7466 New Ridge Road in Hanover, Maryland. That's Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship. Also, it's the RSVP, so they know you're coming. It's 410-859-8002, and that's the church office. And also, you can go to www.JesusLivesMinistry.org. So we encourage you to come out to that for that training. It's open to all, open to the new believer, the young believer, the elder. Or if you know it's been a while since you really did community outreach and you need to, hone your skills, sharpen your iron a little bit, that's what this time of fellowship is going to be for. Amen. And also we have one more. Wait a minute. We have one more? We have two more. We have one more. And it's going to be also on Saturday, June the 4th. At 6:15 p.m., Messiah Men's Ministry presents Father and Daughter Night Out. And that's going to be in Reisterstown, Maryland. We encourage you to come out, an evening of fun, dancing, and fathers and daughters sharing their memories. All time for a father to just, get your daughter, take her out, no matter how old she is. Or if also for my uncles, my uncles, my grandfathers, you get your granddaughter, your daughters, your nieces, and then spend some time. The men spending time with the females in their lives, those women who look up to you, those women who need you in their lives, that you can be that rock and that strong foundation. But they know who a man is, so when they're looking for one, they can find one that looks like you. Amen? That's going to be at 909 Berryman's Lane, Reisterstown, Maryland. You can go to the church website at www.messiahcc.org for the details. That's on Saturday, June the 4th, 2016, and it starts at 6:15 p.m. Amen? Amen. And also, we have one other event coming up. This is the Howard County Coalition to End Intimate Partner Violence, their 2016 Dialogue Series, and this is going to be held on Wednesday, June the 22nd, at 9 a.m. to noon, at the Baltimore Washington Convention Center, the United Methodist Church Mission Center, and that's at 11711 East Marketplace in Fulton, Maryland. I'll be there as the moderator and panelist. We're going to be discussing the role of men in preventing domestic violence. As husbands and fathers, what is our role in preventing it? We want to talk about increasing awareness. We're talking about breaking the silence. We want to give some information and connection with resources where we can take for those that are in our circle of influence, that the way they can get help. And then we also want to talk about being proactive. And as men, and as men of God, and men in the body of Christ, I think the biggest thing we're going to touch on is being a little bit more proactive in it. Because if we all are men and we're honest and we look back over our lives and our families, we've known episodes of domestic violence, and we all know what the reaction is. You know, we want to separate them, and one stays with their both, stays with their mother, or whatever, we put them in a hotel. But what can we do to be proactive and discuss these things, especially with the younger men of a generation who don't see it as a problem, and of older men who have experienced it, been through it, and can speak wisdom into the lives of men? Because, again, we can't assume everyone thinks it's wrong to beat up each other, you know, and also with domestic violence, we always, you know, it's easy to see a woman who's battered, a woman with bruises, but we also, it takes two to fight and argue. And some people think that's normal in their relationship, and that's where it begins, to the point where the police are involved, or someone's in the hospital, or someone gets locked up. But we want to talk about ways of being more proactive, and that comes with teaching. And I strongly believe the Body of Christ has a role and a place in that. So we invite you to come out to that. Again, that's on Wednesday, the 22nd of June, from 9 a.m. to noon. You can go to the website. The sponsored event is wearehopes.org. You can call them at 410-997-0304. Get more details, come out and join us. Again, I'll be there as a panelist and a moderator. So we encourage you to come out. We're going to talk a little bit and try and find some solutions to some of these issues. Talk about some of these things, these issues that we're going to be dealing with in domestic violence. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight, we're going to touch on a few things, because it's a little bit more about evangelism. Again, I want to take the opportunity here at Issues Christian Men's Talk and put this out. Because the summer season's here. I know a lot of churches are going to be doing a lot of outreaches, community outreaches, and things, and we just talked about Jesus Lives ministry during their training, which we have to go back to the gospel, the pure, unadulterated gospel. So that some people, because I personally believe there's a lot of folks who have not heard it. They've seen TV evangelism, they've sat and listened to sermons and preachings and teachings, but the pure gospel of who Jesus was and what the Bible said, and how did they be saved? And that's the biggest thing, and the question we can ask folks. You know, and all that we do and outreach, all we do, we feed the homeless, we clothe people, we give food, we buy groceries, we pay electric bills. But if we do all that, and this is something each of us as Christians need to sit down and consider. We can do everything and provide everything in this temporal realm, in this immaterial world, and help someone. But if they still die and go to hell, have we truly fulfilled the Great Commission? We've helped the homeless, we've helped the hungry, we helped the abused, we took care of widows, we took care of orphans. But if they still die and their soul ends in eternity, separated from God, have we really fulfilled what Christ has called us to do? And that's what we have to be able to, can we share the gospel in a way that people can understand it and come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ for themselves? Amen? Amen. Team online, you can call in at 646-668-2636. Press 1 on your keypad. You can join the conversation, share your wisdom, share your insights to what we're talking about, and help us until we want to talk about it. This is an open line night. I know there's Issues Christian Men's Talk, but tonight I put it out on Facebook that we have an open line. We're going to give everybody the opportunity to join in and talk and share. Amen. Amen. Let me go to my Pastor Larry Watkins. How are you, sir? Good evening.
God bless you, Deacon Farr, man. I'm good to hear your voice. Glad to be here. I'm doing well. Thank you, sir.
Amen. Amen. I'm good to be on here. Good to hear you on here. And then we're going to, like I said, we're going to talk about, we did this on the TV show. We're going to do a little bit more tonight and talk again about the gospel. But I want to touch on some specific points because, you know, we limited here and focal listening, but I want to be able to talk to you on some specific things here and share and get your insight on it. Well, like I say, the thing about the gospel is, you know, the first thing that most people, unbelievers or new believers, come into, we have to understand, too, I wanted to put this out there, that there's one thing we also have to do as a church and as the body of Christ, that we have to understand that once an unbeliever is converted and gives their life to Christ, we have to understand that that's just the beginning. That we can't just, you know, I've known evangelism, I've done it myself, where we go out, we have people pray the sinner's prayer, and then, you know, we don't follow up. That's the best way I could put it. We don't follow up. We don't have their information. If they don't come to our building for a Sunday service, we don't reach out to them. We don't go where they are. We may go into these communities. We may go out into the neighborhood. We may do a prayer walk. We may go out in the mall and hand out tracts. But if we're not following up, have we done what Christ has called us to do, or have we just done something again with, well, you know, what we always call punched our spiritual time clock and think we've done something for God? What do you think, sir?
I think it's an almost insane concept that once someone gets saved, we leave them alone. I mean, the very concept, the very word says that we are born again. And no one would give birth to a baby and then leave that baby by itself to fend for itself. It doesn't have the capability. It doesn't have the dexterity. It doesn't have the strength. It doesn't have the understanding. It doesn't have the communication skills. It doesn't have the ability to take care of itself. So how can we believe that that once they're born, that everything is all right, we can leave them alone and they can sustain themselves? Yet there is the misconception when we come to Christ that once we are saved or born again, that we now have the ability to take care of ourselves, that everything is all right. I know, you know, in growing up in the church, we used to hear, once you get saved, everything will be all right. No, everything won't be all right. This is when the struggle starts. This is when the new battles begin. This is when life restarts itself for a believer, because now you're looking at the world through a different set of eyes. You're looking at the world with a different perspective. You're looking at the world and dealing with things in a different manner, at a higher level. I say this all the time. Holiness is just living at a higher level, a higher standard. Not that anybody's better than anybody, but the standard that we have for our lives is higher than what the rest of society is. So we have to be separated, set apart. That's what holiness means. So once somebody gets saved and they come into this life, it is ludicrous to believe that they have the ability to now live this higher life, make the decisions that are necessary, conduct themselves in a way that's necessary in something that they have never seen or never experienced. So, of course, they need hand-holding. Of course, they need to be fed milk until they're ready to eat the meat of the word. Of course, they need to be taught how to talk in the language that is necessary. They need to be able to understand how to conduct themselves. They need to learn to crawl, then to walk, and then to run. So we need to be able to hold their hands through this process, to feed them, to nurse them, to get them on the solid food of the word, to the point where now they can begin to grow. They become toddlers in the word, and then they become grown-ups in the word. These are things that must be done just as they are done in the natural. They must be done in the spiritual. Yet we decide that somebody gets saved and we want to leave them all to themselves. We want to put them on an island and say, now you work out your own soul salvation. No, that's not the case. We must bear the infirmities of the weak. We have to make sure that we're taking care of those who can't take care of themselves. And someone newly saved, although they may have the zeal to run off and save the world, does not yet have the ability to do that. So we have to be able to be there to hold hands, to parent them, so to speak, in the spirit, and teach them and lead them in the right way. Now, they have the Holy Spirit to guide them, but we also need to be there as a helping hand. What do you think, Deke?
Amen, sir. You're correct. And that's one of the things that we as the body of Christ must do, you know. And that's one of the things I encourage, personally, when folk come, even in the church setting, if they come to our buildings, are we doing the follow-up? You know, I strongly believe that there's an infrastructure in our churches that we need. That if folk come and give them lives to Christ, we have to have in place a team that will follow up, that will minister, that will take time out, that will sow into the lives. That's what Christ has called us to do when he says to fulfill the Great Commission. We have to love upon them. And again, I like what you said about anything that is birth, it's expected to grow. You know, I don't want to get too sensitive, but, you know, if a child is born and the child doesn't First of all, if the child is stillborn, there's no life there. And if the child is born and has a healthy birth, and then there's milestones we look for as the child matures, and it's the same thing in the spiritual realm. Everyone's not going to be at the same place. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is there's growth and there's milestones. And the Word of God calls it the fruit. It should be the fruit of our lives. And some of it is inward and some of it is outward. And that's what we definitely have to be able to help people get to that place of understanding. Because as you know, bro, you know, you've been in church a while, I've been in a while. Sometimes we talk a language that's brand new. It's not English. We have that Christianese that goes on, and we speak it to folk who don't know what we're talking about. And I don't know, sometimes we do it out of arrogance or ignorance, but we have to be able to, again, check ourselves and be able to say and explain and let people understand, because this is life and death. And, you know, my passion is not to get them dressed in a suit. It's not to get a shirt and tie on them, to pull their pants up, to get the citizen to go in a longer skirt, to cover a cleavage up, to buy whatever it is, get on the heels, out the heels, get a dolly on their head. It's about the salvation of a soul, the renewing of a mind through the Word of God. Because the gospel, I truly still believe, is the Word. The Scripture is the Word, and the Word has the power to save. Amen? Amen. I'm going to bring one of our callers in real quick. Praise the Lord. Your last four numbers are 4881.
Praise the Lord. Good evening. Your Father, this is Elder Hall.
Praise the Lord. How are you?
All right. Awesome, man. Awesome. Just awesome to be a part of this conversation tonight.
Amen. Amen. So what do you think, sir, that what we've talked about so far, that importance of that ongoing development gospel, once we went out and we shared, and how important is that to connect people with something? That's the word I want to use. We have to connect them with the faith and make it real to them. What do you think, sir?
Right. I know with my Christian walk and as being a brother that has fallen, a brother that has made mistakes and came to the church, and when I got saved, I needed that person that would connect with me, that would walk with me, that would share with me, that would be personal with me to the point where I could understand who God really was, you know, without giving me deep, you know, the specific, you know, the quotes that they say all the time. I don't need to hear the quotes. I need facts. I need proof. And I had a brother that walked with me and talked to me about God and showed me the things of God and how I could pray to God, and there's no specific way to pray except that, you know, but sometimes we get on those sadity ways, and we want to be deep instead of being honest, you know, and meet them right where they are so that they can understand that right now that they are a babe, but they will grow and become seasoned, but it takes time. And so for me and the men at my church and the ministers at my church, when new members come, new converts come in and give their life to the Lord, they're actually assigned a minister to them, that we're there for their every beck and call. Any questions they have, prayer time, you know, the Word of God, we're there for them just to let them know that you're not by yourself. We have a pretty big church, but everybody's important, and we will not leave them by themselves so that they get lost in the shuffle, and before you know it, they're back out the door again because they never made a connection.
Amen, sir. Amen. I thank you for that, and I appreciate that. That's it. That's the thing. Again, we have that strategy to use the wisdom of God and have a strategy to keep and hold people and to do that, because there's so many things. Pastor Watkins said it too. When a person comes to Christ, there's going to be obstacles. If we look back on the first century church, those folk were coming to Christ and they were losing everything. They became outcasts in the culture. They were no longer considered Jewish. They were kicked out of the temple. Their families rejected them because they saw this Jesus Christ as some kind of, you know, a martyr, as some guy. I mean, not a martyr, but they saw him as some kind of crazy guy. It was a cult. But they had to come together. And we talk about that unity in the book of Acts. That's because they had no other choice. I think now we're in a position here, especially in America, that, you know, if you don't like a church, you can go somewhere else. And we not, we're not really, I think we're not really as emotionally dependent on each other as the Book of Acts. So we have to be careful when folk want to say we want churches like the Book of Acts, because can we sustain folk when they have no place else to go? And that goes from social services, that goes from if they were kicked out of their place, it's all kinds of things. So when we read that and say that and preach that, we have to understand what was really going on. Amen. So, gentlemen, I want to talk, and for my listeners, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're Pastor Larry Watkins and Elder Hall is called in. And you, if you're listening online, again, you can call in at 646-668-2636. Press one of your keypads if you'd like to join the conversation to share some wisdom. But we're going to touch on a couple of points here about the gospel and what it means, the gospel, the plain, pure gospel. And one of the things I wanted to touch on is one of the questions that an unbeliever or a new believer would have. And one of those things, I'm gonna come to you, brothers, and ask your opinion on this, is why do I need to be saved? And that's one of the things when you're doing street evangelism, folk are going to ask you. And this is what we as Christians we should have an answer for. We should have an answer in Scripture, then we should have an answer that they can understand. Because, again, quoting Scripture to them may be enough, but then we have to be able to elaborate on that. And that's where the training, the maturing, you know, how to respond to the questions that folk are asking. You know, if someone asks us, why do I need to be saved? Amen. So I'm going to start it off, because I'm going to Scripture, but then we're going to expound on it a bit more, because in Romans chapter number 3, the Word of God says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And also I'm going to read, 5 and 12, and it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned. And then that refers back again, if we have to take folks sometimes back to the beginning. And for myself, that was Genesis. We have to explain to people who Adam was and what Adam did to cause that sin is the stain of sin is on all of us. It's not what we have done. It goes back to Adam. And I think a lot of folk don't think of that. That's how we get people to say, you know, well, when I get myself together, I'll come to church, because they don't understand. They don't understand Genesis. They don't understand what Adam did. They don't understand the fall. And that's what we have to be as men of God and the church, be able to explain that. Pastor Watkins, let me start with you. What do you think, sir? Why do I need to be saved?
Well, first of all, when we talk about trying to express salvation to someone, we have to make sure that we're able to express salvation in a way where if they don't know any Bible, if they've never been to a church, and we have to realize that we are now entering a society, we're entering a generation that knows nothing about church. There's no more grandmamas. There's no more big mamas. There's no more I'm going to pray for you, baby, because they've been to church and singing Amazing Grace. There's none of that. Mama, big mama now is 45 and mama is 25. And all of this stuff is going out the window, and we have a generation that knows nothing about church. So now we're dealing with people who are unchurched, don't know the Bible. So when we talk to them about salvation, we have to be able to express it in terms that is relevant to them. When we speak about things and we start quoting Scripture, we can quote Scripture, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. We can say, you know, that what Romans says, and we can talk about, you know, all of us have sinned and fallen short, but sin is a concept they're not familiar with. They know about doing right and wrong. They know about the mistakes that we make. And we have to be able to explain to them that because of the nature of ourselves, the way we are created, not the way we are created, but because we made a mistake a long, long time ago and messed up and didn't follow the instructions we were given, we were separated from God. And the mistakes that we make separate us from God. And in order for us to be able to correct those mistakes, someone had to take responsibility for those things. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. He took responsibility for the mistakes that we make, for the things that we do wrong, for the things that we do that are not that go against what God says. And because of that, Jesus became that. He took on that responsibility for us so that when we believe on him, and not only did he take on that responsibility, he died for it. He became our sacrifice, and that's not a religious word. It's just a word that we know that he became our sacrifice, meaning he stood in the gap for us. He became what we could not do. He died, and then he rose again, which means he got up. That means there's nobody in the grave. You can look in the grave where he is, and you can see if there's nobody there. And because he did that, because he loved us that much, we now have the ability to go to God and ask God to forgive us for the things that we did wrong, to have the ability now to turn away from those things and to live a life that is at a higher standard. We now have the ability to live by the manual that the manufacturer has set down so that we can live a life that is powered and fueled by God so that we can become all that we can be. Now, I quoted a bunch of principles there, but not once did I quote a scripture. Not once did I use a spiritual key phrase or a spiritual idiom or anything like that, but I put it in tactics that many can understand. And this is what we have to do. We have to be able to make it relevant to them at their level so that they can understand it. So that if I don't know anything about Jesus, if I don't know anything about Bible, if I don't know anything about church, you can make it relevant so that I can understand it. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. Amen. Amen. Elder Hall, can you hear me? What do you think, sir?
Yes, sir. So Watkins was saying it's important for us to meet them where they are because they are malnourished at that point where if they don't know Jesus and they may have heard of him but never encountered him themselves, we have to talk pretty much in layman's terms to them to share with them the love of Christ and why he went to the cross for us and sharing with them that no matter what we've done, the Lord loves us. And we have to talk about that love more than anything else because so many unbelievers are the ones that aren't getting the love. And they're knocking on every door. They're knocking on every window. They're shaking hands with people that they probably wouldn't shake hands with otherwise if they had the love of Christ. And so I know for me, when I evangelize or go on the street and do street ministry, I do my best to just sit and talk. I sit and talk with them, and we talk about, you know, where they are and the things that they're dealing with, and I share my experiences and what God has done for me and how the Lord saved me and delivered me. And I try to find a common ground, not being, like I said before, not being deep, but being real, you know. And once a brother or sister feels the realness and the sincerity in you, they'll receive what you have for them, what God has given you to share with them. And we can get them to that place where their eyes will open and to be able to understand what the Word of God is saying about salvation and confessing to their sins and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and all that. But that time comes later. But we have to connect with them. It's so important for us to connect so that they can drop their guards. Because a lot of times when believers go out in the street, we don't look like them because we're all dressed up. You know, we may have, we call it casual clothes, but we're wearing clothes that they couldn't afford. And so they already don't shut down on us because of the fact that we don't look like them and we don't talk like them. But when we can meet them where they are, put our collars on the shelf, take the lizard skins and the Pumas and the Nikes and the Adidas and leave them in the closet, and just come plain and just a regular Joe Blow, being able to share the gospel with them and sharing your story. Your story is so important in the midst of evangelism because they can relate to your story and may not be able to relate to the Word of God. But then you can walk them to Christ just that way by being open, being transparent, being able to share with them what the Lord has done for you and that if he did it for you in your muck and mire, in your lowest place, you know, in your imprisonment, you know, in your bad decisions, then that hope will come in them that they can say, well, if it happened for you, it can happen for me, you know. And then we walk them a little further, and then we introduce scripture and talk to them about the Lord and prayerfully that they'll give their life to the Lord. But we have to be open and honest. We have to meet them where they are. But most of all, we've got to be able to connect without being so deep that they just walk away from us.
Amen, sir. Amen. I thank you for that wisdom and thank you for that sharing. But that's one of the things you're right. We have to, again, I say this a lot, and even myself, you know, because I personally have taken it this year to be able to go back and start evangelizing to the unbeliever again. And again, we have to take these opportunities to prepare ourselves to go back out. We have to, some things we have to purge out of our dialect, out of our speech, and out of our, like I said before, our Christianese, so that we can reach people with the gospel, the pure gospel. You know, why do they need to be saved? That's a basic question that anyone would ask you, because it's, again, they've seen church, they've seen, you know, the pantries, the giveaways, we come out, we play, do music, we do a lot of things that they've seen us done, even have to compete with the television preachers, good or bad. So when they ask us the straight plain question, we have to be ready to be able to connect to them and talk to them in a language that they can understand, that we can still get the principles across. And that's one of the things that we have to, when we talk about sin, we talk about the penalty of disobedience, we talk about Adam and how Adam sent all of mankind into sin because of his disobedience. And that's the other thing that we have to do when folk ask us, what is sin? Because that's what people, when folk like to say, you know, when I get myself together, I'll come to the church. But they can never get themselves to a point where they think they're susceptible, because that's where a lot of folk got in trouble in the Bible. And that's where religion comes in. And we think that we can do something that's going to please God, that he's going to accept us. And I think that's the biggest obstacle or the biggest mindset that folk have, that there's something that they need to do that God's going to be pleased and happy with them. And that's not the case, because it's not what the gospel teaches. Pastor Watkins, what do you think about that? The importance of understanding why we're separated from God and why Christ had to come. What do you think, sir?
I agree with what you're saying. It's important that we understand that the mistakes that we make in our life separate us from God. You can ask a person, do you consider yourself a liar? And they would say, no, I don't consider myself a liar, but you have lied. Well, yeah, then that makes you a liar. Would you consider yourself a thief? No, but you have stolen. And if you have stolen, then you're a thief. All of these things are things that we have done wrong. These are the things that separate us from God. But God loves us so much that he had to create a way for us to get back to him and to make up for those mistakes. That's the reason why Jesus died on the cross for us. As Elder Hall said, we have to make sure that we express the fact that it's all about love. It's not about what we do wrong. It's not about a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's about getting back to God and getting that connection back to God. We're all going to mess up. We're all going to make mistakes. We're nobody's perfect. But it's a matter of trying to get that connection back to God, because God is the thing that empowers my life. God is the thing that makes me able to deal with everything that's going on in my life. It's not about the clothes that I wear. It's not about the suit that I have. It's not about the scriptures that I can quote. It's about the fact that God helps me with every area of my life. He loves me that much that he wanted the connection with us. Our lives could be empowered to do what we needed to do with our lives so that we could live a life that was at a higher standard. And because of that love, Jesus died so that we could now get that connection back. All the things that we do wrong break that connection. All the things that we mess, the mistakes that we make break the communication. And if there is no communication, then we can't get there. So this is why we have to have that moment where we tell God, God, this is what I believe. This is what I accept. Please help me with my life. And help me to be restored back to you, restore the connection. And this, in that, in its essence, is what the prayer of salvation is. It's saying that I believe in you. It says that I accept what you did for me. It's saying that I know that I've made mistakes, and I want to turn away from those mistakes, and I need your help with my life. Hence, that's Romans 10:9-10 right there. And once we can express that to them, we can be able then to be able to let them know that it's about doing those things that are necessary. everybody says, well, you know, I just messed up. I was at the club last night. I was just I keep telling brothers, and I tell everybody, don't worry about what you're doing. Keep coming and keep doing what you're doing until you stop doing what you're doing, because there's going to come a point where your desires change. There's going to come a point where your heart changes. There's going to come a point where those things you used to do, you won't be able to do anymore. So don't worry about what you're doing right now. Keep coming until you stop doing what you're doing. It's not really hard. It's simple. But you got to keep coming for it to happen, because the more you get connected to God, the more you get connected with Him, the more your heart changes, the more your life changes, and you don't want to do the same things over and over again. So it's about the fact that God loves us. It's about the fact that the things that we mess up on, the things that we do that go against what He asked us to do, separate us from Him, and we need Him in our life to empower our lives to be able to do what is necessary, to be able to deal with the conflicts in our life, to be able to deal with the struggles that come up in our life, to be able to deal with all of the tragedies that happen in our life. I couldn't do it unless God was there. And that's the thing that I would like to convey, that I would have to convey, is that I couldn't do it unless God was with me. And it's because of His love that I'm able to stand. I can't stand on my own, but it's because of His love that I can stand. What do you think, sir?
Amen. So you're correct. You know, I'm going to share the scripture. I have a different translation here. I don't have the old King James. I don't want to throw people off with the blue in the eyes. But I have today's English version. And that scripture I wanted to point to real quick was from Romans chapter number 5. And it says, but God has shown us how much He loves us. It was while we were still sinners, disobedient to Him, that Christ died for us. By His blood, we are now put right with God. How much more than will we be saved by Him from God's anger? And that anger and what God, that disobedience, again, it goes back to what sin is, our basic understanding of sin, the basic, the elementary eighth grade. Sin is disobedience, as simple as that. It's not all the things that sometimes the church has thrown out there to be sin. It's disobedient to God's ways. And us as Christians, when they ask us this, you know, but when they ask us, will God save us? And the answer is yes, He will. But then the next question sometimes is, you know, I've sinned, and we have to understand what sin is. And that's where we, as Christians, we have to be able to share what sin really is. And that separation you talked about earlier, Pastor. What are the things that in our lives that separate us from Him? And that's where, again, where we come in as mentors, as disciplers, as men and women of God who speak in for God to make it relative to them, to make them understand that it's not something they've done, but it's by faith. And I like what you said. You know, you say about keep on doing what you're doing until you start doing different, because it's a renewing and a changing of your mind. And that's a thing that, you know, you have to start. It goes back to the simplest thing. Once you understand what sin is and what it means, then do you start doing things differently? Do you start hanging with other things? And I think that's the biggest thing too. Do we change our atmosphere? Do we change our circle of influence? Do we start to look and be around different people and different thinking? Because I believe the heart and the mind, it changed, is where the gospel can be most effective. And that's where, again, us as the church, are we drawing people into something that's different from what they're accustomed to? Or are we telling them, or giving them a bunch of don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, do that? Because unfortunately for us as Christians, to them, that's law, that's religion. And instead of bringing them into the understanding of who God is and that love that you mentioned earlier, that's where we have to, again, this is where it comes to, are we fashioning, are we preparing ourselves, are we prepared to go and engage the culture in a way that we can express who God is, who Christ is, and why Christ came in a way that they understand without the religiosity of it all. I'll use that word. That's the only Christian word I'm going to use tonight. But could we do it without that, that we're drawing them to something instead of a list of do's and don'ts? Elder Hall, you with us? What do you think, sir?
Yes, sir. you two guys are exactly right. It's definitely we've got a it's a mindset that we have to change. It's a belief that we have to change. It's a way of living, a way of life that has to change. And we have to remind the unbeliever that we all are sinners and we've all fallen short. So we're not coming through judgmental eyes. We're not coming through I'm better than you because I'm saved and you're not. But we talk to them and we share with them through the love of Christ of how he loved us enough to hang on that cross for us, that God loved us enough to give up his son for us, and that he loved us that much to say that he wanted us to have a better life. When we get down to it and put the rubber on the road, Jesus came that we might have a more abundant life, that we would have a relationship with the Father, but which was through him. But through that, our lives would be, there would be a life of order. There would be a life of blessings, even though we're still going to have our struggles, we're still going to have our tough times here and there, but we have a Savior that will be with us and that will guide us through it, that we won't feel the heavy blows of what we're dealing with, but we'll just get a portion of that blow because of his grace and his mercy. And we have to remember that we have to keep reminding ourselves as we evangelize to those that are lost that it's no matter what, you can't stop because practice makes perfect. You keep pushing. The more you push forward, your life is already changing. The more you keep pressing, your heart is beginning to change. The more you keep running towards him, your life is going to get better. Even if the situation doesn't change right then and there, but your mindset and your focus and the way you look at it will change. You know, and it'll give them reasons to want to run to the Lord and not want to run away from him because they're still dealing with things. You know, and I share with the brothers all the time that it's key to be honest. Yeah, I got saved. Yeah, I'm in church, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to mess up. It doesn't mean that I'm always going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that I'm never going to lie. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to sin, period. But because we have a Savior, we have a right to ask for forgiveness and be forgiven. But without that, none of that takes place. So there's a reason for salvation. There's a reason to, in a godly way, so that we can live more abundantly and not live the way that we're living now. And then you have to flip the script too for those people that are doing well but still unbelievers. But then you have to share with them how did you think that you were able to get your status to where it is now? You know, where did you get the brains? Where did you get the ability to get up in the morning and go to work? Where did you get the wherewithal to be able to articulate your words to the place where you could get that job that paid you that six-figure, you know, had that six-figure salary? But it was through God. You know, even though you weren't his, you never acknowledged him, he was still there, you know. And I share with them that even in your well-to-do-ness, God is still there. God is still doing things for you because he's already made plans for you, even though you haven't even accepted him yet. And you think you're living now. Wait till you connect with him, and you'll see that it's not so much that your status will change, but your heart will change, and the way you look at things will change. Because even the millionaire has a lot of problems, but they just never share them with the common folk. And it has to be that we always have to make sure that there's a level ground that we're playing on, you know, where we're never looking above them, but we're looking straight at them, you know. And I always tell the men all the time in the youth when we're ministering that you go right where they are. You know, you don't need to stand on two chairs and a ladder, but you stand right where they are and you look them right in their eyes to let them know I'm no better, but this is what the Lord did for me. And this is the reason that I'm sharing with you that salvation is important. The relationship with the Lord is important. We really can't make it without him. As much as we think we're doing it, he's the one that puts breath in our body, even though we think we're doing it, even though we think that the alarm clock is what's actually waking us up in the morning. But it's him. We just gotta be real, we gotta be plain, and we have to be to the point, but not deep.
Amen, amen. You know, you're right, bro. I like what you pointed out. That's one of the things, too, when we do evangelism, unfortunately, we have to look at ourselves. What neighborhoods are we going in? Where are we going when we want to preach the gospel? That's another issue we're going to touch on later, but in a future show. But you brought it up here. When we talk about those who have, you know, because you know, in the culture, we know about the haves and the have-nots. But is it easy for us because we are? Let's see. I don't know. Let me find a nice word here because I don't want to offend my Christian brothers. But do we go into the same neighborhoods over and over again because we feel safe there, or do we go and break some barriers? Do we go in those neighborhoods in the three-figure homes? Do we walk into all these new developments? We're in Anne Arundel County, Howard County. We see buildings. We see single-family homes going up all over the place, starting at $250. They're new communities. Do we have a strategy and plan to go into those neighborhoods and knock door to door and bring the gospel to them? Or do we go in our regular, you know, our usual suspect neighborhoods? Well, I'm not going to say that we don't have a passion, because some of us were brought up in some of those high rises, the houses, the low rises, the tenements, whatever you want to call them. But now, are we, as the body of Christ, are we have a strategic plan to go into the other neighborhoods to do what it takes to find out what we can do? You know, it's easy to go into the public housing and go door to door and hang door knockers. But now, while we have a strategy to go into some of these, I won't say gated communities, but, you know, these communities where, again, are we going door to door in some of these new developments? Are we reaching those who have? Because they need the salvation. And will that legitimize our gospel message? Because now we have a strategy to do that. And are we on purpose trying to find and trying to move forward to do those things? So it's a lot to it that we have to consider. But again, it's meeting the gospel. It's doing what God has called us to do, to reach all of the world, all of the nations, every race, every creed, and our socioeconomic thing should not separate us or pull us off our mission or our commission to do that. Amen. You know, you listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday at 8 p.m. and every Thursday at 8:30 p.m. You can call in at 646-668-2636, or you can go online to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to the rebroadcast of this show. You can share this with your friends and family. Have them listen to our archive there. Also, you can connect with us on Facebook by going to your Facebook page. It's Facebook, Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can link us up. You can link up with us there. Follow us there when we do our new live broadcast. It's posted there. So you can keep up with us there. You can reach out to us if you have any topics or topics you want to talk about, or you want to share your input and your thoughts on some of our past shows, or be a guest on our discussion panel. You can reach out to us there. Also, we're on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk. That's it's hashtag. I'm new to Twitter. I'm getting together. Don't worry. But go on there. Look for Issues Men's Talk. That's our Twitter. You can link up with us there. Follow us there, because we also post upcoming men's events, devotionals, daily devotionals, connection of upcoming men's events, and all these things. Because we believe here that issues that men's ministry to men is important, so that we are as husbands, fathers, and sons, that we can be leaders in the church, in the community, and in our homes. And this is where we could come discuss some of these topics. Well, tonight we've been talking about the gospel, the pure gospel, how we outreach, how we prepare ourselves, and be able to answer the questions that the unbeliever would have, or that the new believer would have. And gentlemen, I guess inadvertently you touched on it, because my next thing was, what do we need to do to be saved? And we touched about Romans 10:9-10. And real quick, I wanted to give that and get your thoughts, because that's something we have to really do. We have to really be able to explain to people. When we say, do you believe? And what is your faith in? And then that belief is deeper than just saying, you know, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. And there's nothing else. You have not submitted. And I think that the other tool, another thing we have to be able to share with people, what it means for Christ to be Lord of our life, the Lordship part. Because it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the things in there we want to talk about is that believe. And that believe, I've heard it taught and studied that he's Lord. We believe. We believe all the things that God has written, has said in his word. And we believe it in our heart to the point we're committed to it. We commit to what has been done. We commit to the resurrected Christ. We commit that Christ has died for our sins. The price is paid. The debt that is owed to God because of our disobedience is paid. And that we're made righteous before him, and it's through Christ. And then now, when we talk about the Lordship, is I think that's something else that we have to focus and be able to share with people what it means. Because it's about coming under submission. And when we talk about submission, it's not an evil, it's not a bad word, because we all do it. We just don't see it as submission. We do it at work. We do it with the laws that we obey in the government. Some of us do it in the speed limit on the highway, and some of us don't. So, you know, we're going to talk to that. That's where it is. But when we talk about what God has called us to be Lord of our life, and that's where our faith is. Because if he's Lord, then what he says and what we do and what we think is not our opinion. It's what he says, and that's what we be. That's who we are, and that's what we believe, and that's what we live and die by. Pastor Watkins, what do you think, sir, about the Lordship of Christ?
The Lordship of Christ is about acknowledging the fact that he is and was and shall be the head of my life. It's about acknowledging that that I didn't create myself, that someone else created me. And that because that he created me, he knows more about me than I know about myself. It's acknowledging the fact that there is a set of principles that are set out for me to live by that are of, and I use this term, and I know I've said it a couple times, at a higher standard or a higher level of living. The Lordship of Christ is about being obedient to that lifestyle. It's about living the lifestyle that is obedient to him, that's living the lifestyle that acknowledges that he is Lord of my life. Now, when we talk about Romans 10:9-10, it's about making that verbal confession about what I believe on the inside. It's about making that confession that says, okay, God, I realize that I can't do this on my own. I've made my mistakes, I've messed up, and now I need some help with my life. And I realize that you are the only person that has the ability to help me. You're the one that created me. You are the one that died for me. And you are the one that rose so that I might live. And I believe that and I accept that. Now, help me with my life. Come into my heart. Help me with my life because you're the only one who can. And that knowing him as Lord is just saying, that he's the only one that can help you with your life. It's that simple. He's the only one that has the ability to turn your life around. You know, we tell people all the time in marriage seminars that you can't change anybody. Only God can change a person. So if only God can change a person, then we have to be able to accept God in our lives to be able to change. So we have to be able to accept him. And this Romans 10:9-10 is that verbal acceptance that he's the only one that can help us. He's the one that created us, and this is the verbal confession that we're making. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. Amen. And that Lordship, I think it's key. And that's the biggest thing that we can be able to share, people, to come under the power and under who Christ truly is. Elder Hall, what do you think, sir?
Yes, sir. I would. Compare with exactly what Pastor Watkins said, it's so important that we remember that everything comes from the heart. That's where knowledge is. That's where we meditate. You know, that's where God's word, we hide God's word. That's where we devise plans. That's where we ponder. Everything comes from the heart, and that's the key to our salvation. Romans 10:9 tells us about that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart, it starts with the heart. And if we can believe in our heart, that's where it starts. Everything else will take care of itself, but the heart is where it all starts. And if we can get the unbeliever to believe in his heart that Jesus is Lord, his life will never be the same. Because everything comes from the heart. And everything else will take care of itself. If the heart is lined up with the Lord, everything else is like water under the bridge.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I've been joined today with Elder Hall and Pastor Larry Watkin. And, again, I want to remind my audience, listening audience, that we're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8:30 p.m. You can join the conversation by calling into 646-668-2636. Also, you can go online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And join us. We invite you to join us, invite you to come out and listen and be part of the discussion, be part of the panel. Also, I want to remind you that we've been talking about the gospel tonight, and we have Jesus Lives Ministries Evangelism Training Session coming up on Saturday, June the 4th, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Lunch will be provided. The church is located at 7466 New Ridge Road, Suite 1, Hanover, Maryland, 21046. You can RSVP at 410-859-8002, or you can go on our Facebook page, Christian Issues Men's Talk. It'll be posted there. You can reach out to us. We appreciate you for joining us tonight. I have one more announcement I wanted to close with, because this is dear to my heart coming up. We have our Man-to-Man, Men's Ministry Fellowship at the Church of Redeeming the Lord at 4321 All York Road, Baltimore, Maryland, 21212. That's on Friday, June the 3rd, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., and we invite you to come out and join fellowship with the brothers, be encouraged, be strengthened. The topic, men hate wounds, but won't address them. So I'm going to be there so I can address the wound, so we can get it bandaged up, we can get the scar tissue to start to grow, can even take some of the stitches out. So that's on Friday, June the 3rd at 7 p.m. Gentlemen, I thank you for joining me tonight. God bless you. I continue to pray for you. Be encouraged. And never, 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 never give up. Amen.
Amen.
God bless.
Heaven could be a wonderful bed.